just don't even read it. You know, it'll get you killed, so to speak, but you get some what's going on in the real world by boots on the ground with honest people. And it's interesting, there's one article they have here recently is on folks in Vietnamese and Vietnam, Vietnamese. And it's interesting, it's a communist country. What I thought would be interesting is see what's going on here. We have some of the same kind of a spirit. I mean, see what's, you know, you see what's happening over there and it's coming right in here. And so if the Lord would tarry, you can just see it. And so you got to learn from that, you know. This is a bunch of believers registered but persecuted. Here it says Kel and Heem. That's a husband and wife. They have them blocked. They became new believers, and they wanted to do the right thing and go to church. So they were young, and so what they decided to do is they wanted to worship the Lord. So they go, hey, we'll begin meeting morning, late night, avoiding the watchful eyes of government officials, which is communism. They control us so tightly, he said, they felt everywhere. So, you know, obviously the communism keep an eye on folks they didn't want to see what's happening. The Christian family soon decided the best way to gain more freedom was to register with one of the official Christian denominations in Vietnam. Vietnam. You know, right away, they said they're young. I get that. They registered, you know. So watch what happened here. They thought the government registration would put local officials at ease, ensuring them that Christians were following the law and being good citizens. Next step, it had the opposite effect. You know, I don't think we're 501c3 here, corporation here, are we? We're not right here? A school, 501c3 here? Okay, so in my old pastures go, hey, Tim, I'm in that because I can get tax-free stuff. But the minute they tell me something, I'm done. I get that. I mean, I understand all that. I get that, you know. So here they had the opposite effect. The registration was accepted at the provisional and district levels, but it prompted an angry backlash from the local government. Caring and Heaney and other Christians were repeatedly summoned to meetings and interrogations during their authorities, which authorities demanded a rigorous denounce all their faith and go return to the ancient worship. You know what worship here in our country? Self and materialism. That's a big secular humanism, right? That's kind of what our religion is here. It's not official, but that's kind of what it is here. When the authorities demanded they didn't yield results, they began, here's what they do now, confiscating the family's property, land, seeds, even recently harvested produce. They stole wood from a family they had collected from the forest to expand their home and roped off a field Kel had recently planted, and soldiers stole the harvest of crops. And they stole a pig that Kel and Henny had raised for more than a year and slaughtered to one of their spirit festivals. That's something. There's not only stealing their pig, but I'm going to sacrifice it to faking gods, you know, trying to get not only physical attention, but you know, emotional thing too. Many minority groups like the Hmong receive land grants, financial support, and other government assistance to help them survive. That's what we're getting on here. We want more and more government handouts. You don't understand, it's a control issue, whatever, you know. You get all that, you know. The authorities stripped these families of any assistance, claiming the Christians and their foreign faith are disloyal to the Vietnamese people. They can do anything they want to do. Remember, whoever, you know, follow the money. If they're controlling with that, they can pull it away. Continue on here. Whatever we had received up until the time, they took away everything, Kel said. It is not only that you cannot join the program and that they take your right to receive anything new, but they took away what you had before. If they help us in any way buy a buffalo, took the buffalo away. Help us buy trees, they took that away. Police searched the Christians' houses looking for even the smallest evidence of wrongdoing or withheld anything they believed belonged to the community. That's what communist means, for the people, right? You know, you get all that, you know. Then the situation even grew worse. They disconnected them from the electrical system. That's anything you do, you know. You have a bunch of gold and silver stashed away, but turn your power off and you know, they can do things, you know. I mean, you can't eat gold and silver, amen? Kel said, and the night after the power was shut off, someone threw a large stone into the their thatched roof, which might probably be leaves, I guess, breaking part of the structure and terrifying their children of 3, 4, and 6. Yeah, terrorize the poor children, you know, communism. The other Christian families suffered similar treatment. One Christian reported that soldiers abused their 18-year-old daughter and sister-in-law during the search, and the police refused to do anything. That's what's happening here. So you see what's happening there is, oh yeah, we'll just withhold our hold rights, not honor the law, goods of the people. That's what's going on in Vietnam, and it's slowly coming our country if we don't pay attention. You get that, you know? Okay. All right. Well, I've been looking on our study for prayer, and I've been on this section that I'm following. I thought was pretty good. Prayers of thanksgiving. And so, Lord, what do you have me to do? And as I was reading my Bible about a month ago, I came across 2 Chronicles 21:1-30. As I'm going to stay there pretty much all today. A great, great portion to see how the Lord set up Jehoshaphat. And obviously it's Old Testament, and I understand how God dealt with people nationwide, spoken directly, but we can take that to a personal point here and look at some similarities in prayer. So let's start here at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And just to give you a brief sets up here, recap here, in verse 19, what happened is Jehoshaphat had a little bit of a reprove. Look at verse, you know, what's interesting is the Lord knows you, you know, your uprising, your downsittings, and sometimes he'll set up a situation to kind of mold you kind of to his image. Yeah, I mean, you may have a situation going on and, don't worry about that, but the Lord's going to just kind of take some of your faults or your blind spots and find a situation or a person to kind of mold it around. That kind of what happens. That's molding us into his image. Thing is, you got to be open for it. The fight against that is foolishness. Because you're going to fight again and again and finally learn, right, you know? So look at here, interesting here, and to set up what's happening here in verse 19, it says, verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer was kind of like the prophet back then, they called him a seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So it's a kind of little, you know, something he had to do. But the verse 3 says, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. That's a good thing, you know. Obviously, you know, I think Jehoshaphat was one of the a good king. He kind of ended a little bad again, you know. I mean, kind of, you know, he did some right things, and God records them, but then sometimes they end a little bad, which he did. I'm not going to get to today. Anyway, so verse 20 was what happened up here. It says, in verse 20 it says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2, then there came some of the, and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be of Hazanaim, which is Engedi. Now, what's happening here in verse 2 is Jehoshaphat heard of trouble. So now people come to him, and they know that he's in trouble. It's a great people, it says here. So he knew that they were kind of in trouble. And so look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and seek the Lord. By the way, that's the first thing we should do. A lot of times we have a trouble and we react to it physically or with our checkbook. Always go with the Lord. Go to the Lord first and let's see what happens with him here. So look at verse 3. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. That was a good thing to do. By the way, a far cry from today's national leaders, amen? I mean, you know, the only time they ever mention God and anyone at the end of their, quote, speech, God bless America. I mean, you just did all, I mean, when you throw it in there, you think that's like a catchphrase, do something. You know, this was a Jehoiaphat's first request. I like that. I mean, wouldn't that be refreshing? Someone seek the Lord. So here we have, he feared and sought the Lord. Now, in verse 4, Jehoshaphat was a leader and involved Judea. Now, remember, the tribes split, and Judea was their own nation, and Jerusalem was part of it. Remember that, you know? So the country of Judea included Jerusalem. And in verse 4, it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the city of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. There you go. I like that. You know what, though? Here's a leader involving his people. I like that. Now, I'm going to cover how that works for us, too. But you know what, though? That's a good example of someone that, number one, knew he's in trouble, and he's going to the Lord first thing. Now, look at verse 5. It says here, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, oh, here's what he's saying now. He's praying here. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? You know what, though? That's a very great prayer. I mean, he's kind of reminding God, even though God didn't forget. You know, he's telling the Lord, I know you're in charge. That's a very humbling thing, you know, and I've noticed throughout Scripture. People, that's why they even had set up memorials or stones to remind of people of what God did. That's why you even have a thing here, in remembrance of me. We kind of forget what the Lord did for us. And sometimes we forget about that. So memorial is actually good. The world does that. They have all these memorials around, you know, certain battles and everything. You know, it's a good thing. To have that. So he recognized the power of the Lord, and he started the prayer right here. Interesting here. Look here. He continued on his prayer. Art not thou our God? I was a nation here, who didst drive out the inhabitants of our land before the people, Israel, and gave it for the seed of Abraham and thy friend forever. So he realizes that, hey, he understands the Old Testament. Hey, he had a land grant to Abraham. We're part of that land grant, question mark. And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary thereof for thy name, a saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before his house and in thy presence, for in thy name is in thy house, and cry unto thee our affliction, thou that hearest and help. So here we have right here, we have interesting here, he's remembering the Lord in his story. He's reminding the Lord of what he did in the old past. Now, it's interesting here. Look at this next verse, what he says here. It says in verse 10, and now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, that's the folks coming against him, right? And Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but thou turnest from them and destroy them not. Well, remember back then, he said, don't attack them. And now they come attack him. See that? Hey, Lord, back then we could have destroyed him, right? You held that back. Why are they coming on us now? What's interesting about that? A couple things. The Lord knew the future and wanted to show some things to Jehoiakim right here. And so he didn't destroy them. Remember, he came out of Egypt. They're destroying all these countries and people to get the land. And he told them not to go then. People would go for the Lord. Should I go up against these people? Yes, you'll win. Yes, you'll win. No, don't. So he's reminding the Lord, hey, these people that are coming against us, and remember, you're the one that told us not to go after them. That that's kind of bold for the Lord. Think about that. Think about it. You're praying, Lord, listen, I'm in this trial, and you know what? I try to do what's right here. And tell, you know, just be honest with the Lord. You know, you can't fool the Lord. So then God recorded that kind of as a reminder here. So it's interesting. That's very interesting. Is here in verse 10 here, he remembered the Lord and the past story. Now let's look at verse 11 here. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. So he's now saying, listen, we got all our possessions and lands, and now they're going to come out and take it away. He kind of recognized his helplessness. That's a good spot to be at when you recognize you're kind of helpless. Sometimes we're trying to use our own flesh, our own finances, our own way to get things. This is a good example in prayer. Great thing. It kind of, in a way, I don't know, was he questioning God on this? I don't know. That's something to think about here. But he was real careful that he recognized that he was definitely weak. Now, verse 12, same thing continues on. Oh, our Lord, oh, our God, will thou not judge them? Question mark. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He's completely relying on the Lord. Anyway, though, he's got the people here with them. Remember, the prophetic country is telling this, praying this for the people. That's a good example of a leader. You know what, though? So what's going on today? Our leaders, they're almost like salvation. Vote for me, and I'll take care of everything you need. Am I right? You know what, though? Here's that leader saying, hey, you know what? Listen, woe is me. We're going to be in trouble here, and I'm trusting the Lord. Complete 180 degrees opposite what's going on today from a nation where we are here today. That's what the Lord does, kind of bring it out. But also look at individually, we go to the Lord, we have a situation, you know, hey, Lord, I know the word of God best I can. I did the best I can, reminding the Lord of his mercy and goodness. And very question about here, number 11, here in 12, he recognized his weakness. And now, what's like about it is, in verse 13 and 14, he unites the nation here. It says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Amen. I mean, though, when you're in a situation, he's including his people. There's not some wheeling and dealing going beside the back rooms, you know. Or, you know what happened? There's some wheeling and dealing going on the back room all today. And so what's motivating people is their almighty buck behind the back room. You know, a lot of these politicians, they get out of their position, senator or whatever it is, and they become a representative of some pharmaceutical company. They're on a board for $1 million a year. What is that? I mean, they get $1 million, $800,000 for being on meeting four times a year. I mean, you know they had some deals back over here. I mean, come on now. You know, you write a book, get $14 million for a book. Book writing, Obama. $14 million to write this book. Who cares? How many read that book? I know you guys did, I hope, right? I mean, there's real in the, you know what though? It's honest. It's an honest situation before the Lord. That's what God is revealing, the hearts of people and a nation. You see, kind of where, you know, not only were they a nation, we are today, and then personally in prayer. So, and look at that. He took the people. There's where the little ones, the wives, and the children, including them in there. Hey, Lord, I got the nation here. So I'm kind of what Jehoshaphat's doing is he's putting up the Lord. We're a nation. We're your people. We came from Abraham. You're the one that told us not to attack those people. I have a nation here, Val. Here we are. What do you do about it? That's how it's kind of happening here, putting the Lord on the spot. You know, if you have trouble, put the Lord in a spot. Go, hey, woe was me. I did the best I possibly could. Now, interesting here is, look at verse 14 here. Spirit of the Lord shows up. I like this. It says, verse 14, then upon Jehoshaphat, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeli, the son of Mathva, a Levite, that's a priest, one of the sons of Sapim came, the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord in the midst of congregation. The Lord just showed up. I like that, when the Lord just shows up. Amen? You know what, though? It's just great when you know when the Lord has had his hand in a matter. Well, obviously, in back in the Old Testament, yeah, they didn't have the Holy Spirit we have in us in a personal matter. What they did, the Lord just showed up right there in congregation. That was something pretty cool. The Lord's presence. Sometimes it happens at a meeting here and there, or some music sometimes. The Lord's kind of sprinting through there, but he just shows up here and over here in verse 14. Now, look at 15. Great relief. Ah. And he said, that got to be, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoiathat, thus saith the Lord upon you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, God's speaking to individual back here, nation. I'll tell you something. That was pretty cool in that spot, having the Holy Spirit just show up and say, don't worry about it. I got this covered. Now, today, we live by faith, right? I mean, we didn't got God showing up, we have a priest representative. We are a royal priesthood, right? You know, and someone showing up, answer, we have a battle going on, whether it be a physical thing going on or a spiritual God showing up. But you don't have the Word of God today, especially how the Word of God today and the Holy Spirit of us. And God just sometimes shows up individually, you know, hey, don't worry about that. Take care of that. You know, how many times have the Lord brought you peace or comfort or a matter like, man, you know what, though? I'm in this tough spot. Shh. And the Lord just showed up and settled it. Amen. I hope this happened to you. It kind of settles things. Like, hey, that's pretty cool. The same thing individually here for us that kind of happened in the Old Testament for these folks here. I like that. You kind of see how, and the Lord put this story in here to kind of show, number one, Israel, that God's in charge and will deal with them again one time in the future, but also for us spiritually now that we live by faith, saying that song there, and we have the same thing going on spiritually. Okay, I'm going to finish. I'm just not going to finish it today, so I'll to cover one more thing here. Now the Lord gives them specific instructions. Now, today our specific instructions are right here. And God, you know, was in writing his word and giving them specific instructions. And I'll go through this here and I'll close this here. It says, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and he shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. Jezreel. Hey, what though? When you read these things yourself, it's a lot easier to read in your mind than read them in person. You know what I'm saying? You notice that? I mean, you read through them, you read them, like, oh, I get that. But they're tough words. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle, yet yourselves stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, I'm going to stop there and set up for our next week here. But here was specific instructions for Jerusalem and Judea to go out and stand still. Now, don't take it personally, but think about that. You know, this army's coming down, and you're going to go there, and you're going to stand still. That's a pretty scary spot to be in. I mean, these guys are coming out for blood. You know, they're coming there to meet and have a meeting and have coffee and tea and crumpets, you know, with your tea. They're going to come to kill you or take you prisoner and all that, you know. So, you know, hey, don't worry, just go there. Kind of like, you know, that's why you have the Old Testament they did. For when they marched around Jericho 7 times, and they recorded those days like, well, the Lord fought all these battles. You know, even what's interesting is there's the first 10 battles in the Bible. Notice the first one they took, all the spoil was the Lord. There's your 10th part for the Lord. And then when the second one, they lost the people. Remember it was the gold and the silver and the garment. But the Lord was in all that stuff. And a lot of people forget about that. We're now close to the end of the captivity here. Or they were captive over here into the end. And sometimes people forget that God was still battling for them. And so they were given a shot here. And God knew that. That's why he didn't have them destroyed back in the day here when he told them to spare them, because they knew they were gaining power and they would come against them here this time. That's interesting. So I'll stop there because of time, because I want to finish this here next time. We're going with you about half time. But this is kind of tie us together with your personal prayer life. We all have stuff going on in our lives. Maybe small matter, large matter. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you're on you know, you're on top of the Lord and things are going well. Sometimes you got some needs, you know, and you really, you know, seek the Lord. The Lord knows all those things before you ask. Now, we live by faith, and the Lord does things behind the scenes without a doubt. And I think if there's some young folks here, but if you've been here for a while, you know that seeing how the Lord just kind of, sometimes it's not a big hurry for anything. It's not a big hurry. Sometimes it takes a little while for the Lord to work sometimes. You know, sometimes weeks, months, sometimes years, and you see him reveal himself. Sometimes, I remember one time I was going at the mission, and for some crazy reason, I had a taste for butterscotch. You ever have little butterscotch candies? Remember them things? I have a taste for butterscotch candy. I don't know why that was. And one of the guys there goes, "Oh, here, brother," and gave me one. You think a little 10-cent butterscotch candy, but for me at that time, sometimes an immediate answer, boy, he knows our thoughts. And the man, brother, I don't think I've ever had one since then. But I had a taste for one. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you a butterscotch." I mean, something like that. Little things like that, sometimes like that. Sometimes it's a period of time where you're watching, you're praying for a son that's away or a family member that's away. And it's years, they go, the Lord's done with them. I don't know. Maybe the Lord's just working in their lives a little less. Like all these years, he's working with the Moabs and the Ammonites, all that, preparing this great people for Jehoshaphat and Judah and Jerusalem. That's what, if you look at it, that's what strengthened them. Remember, the Lord came from this tribe. 10 of them bailed, remember, you know? And God's working with, Benjamin, Gideon, too many people, these few people here. Okay, you 10 nations go away. The strength of, you know, the Jerusalem diminished with 12 and 10 split. I got two, I'm going to work with one, and one, I'll bring my son. That's the kind of way the Lord works with them. He's in the minority. So, something to think about as we'll continue on this for next week. Any questions or comments or anything before we close here? Okay, Father in heaven. This is the Bible is phenomenal relevant to today. It's just an amazing thing. I just still, as I look at it and read it, just shake my head and see things in here that I've read over the years, I've never seen, but all of a sudden you point things out. And so I believe you've done that so I can maybe show this to some folks and maybe they need some encouragement in their lives or need to do some things, Father. I don't know, but you know, Father. So I just pray you use this Sunday school lesson that folks would be encouraged. You'll be glorified. They draw closer to you, increase their faith. And we thank you and we love you. I pray as you will minister to you during the service here with music and with the preaching, Father. And we give you the praise and the honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.